Around this time of year, for the last, I don't know, several years, I've had these thoughts that I may have shared them with you before, and if I have, I apologize for sharing with them with you again. But I wonder at this time of year, what would have happened if that song we just sang had a different ending? What if Jesus was never crucified? What if he never had to rise from the dead? What if that cross wasn't hanging on the wall? Would we still be here? Would the Christian faith be here? You know, if on Monday, Thursday, at the Last Supper, what if he sent all his followers out into the world and said, you know, I've taught you all that I can. I've showed you by the way I've lived my life how you should treat others. And now go into the world and teach everyone else. And if Jesus had just gone off to find a quiet place to live out the rest of his life, would we be here today? And I think the real question I'm asking myself is, what do I require? Not what God requires, but what do I require? Do I require someone to be murdered in the way Jesus was and then come back to life 3 days later before I'm willing to pay attention? Do I require that? Just something to think about. But we do have a cross hanging on the wall. And soon we'll be at Holy Week. We'll have Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter. But we're not there yet. We're on our way, but we're not there yet. This is the third week of Lent. And I don't know about you, but for me, Lent has always been a little confusing. Because it's celebrated differently, depending on your background, depending on the church you go to. In the Catholic faith, Lent is basically getting ready for Easter. A lot of fasting, no meat on Fridays. In other denominations, it's basically recalling Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. That's why Lent is the length that it is. But Lent means spring. That's what the word actually means. And when you think of spring, I think of all new things. The world coming back alive again. And I guess at Easter, that's what you would think. And there's many traditions that have filtered throughout Christianity. I know growing up, we always didn't have meat on Fridays. It was always fish or something like that. And there may be fasting. And one thing that a lot of people like to do is to give something up for Lent. You know, maybe sweets, maybe stop watching TV, maybe get off the internet, maybe stop swearing for a little while. But my question is, on Monday morning following Easter, is this world a different place at all? After we've gone through Lent and gone through Easter, and we come to the first day after Easter, have we changed at all? Or are we just go back to the way things were? I think change is what Lent is all about. The word change, simple little word, that's probably one of the most feared words in the English language. We all say this world has to change. We all see things that need to change. But if we're honest with ourselves, we probably don't like change very much. It can be very painful. It can cost us friends. But you know, most of the time when we do change something meaningful in our lives, we probably look back and say, gee, why did it take me so long to do that? It wasn't nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be. And look at the difference that it's made. Our readings this morning talk about change. First one is from the book of Isaiah. And we've been looking at Isaiah the last few months quite a bit. And we know it's over a course of 200 years. So there are a few different writers that contributed to the book of Isaiah. The reading this morning is kind of from the end of the middle part. So it's the end of when the people of Israel were exiled and had to live away from their homeland. Now they have their freedom again. It's time to think about going home. And what's a little different about this reading is this is actually God speaking to his people through Isaiah. These are actually supposed to be the words of God. Let's see what he has to say to us. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for all the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Come upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's quite an invitation. Open to everyone. Doesn't matter where you are in your life, whether you have money or not, whether you're a sinner or a saint, you're all welcome. That description is quite different from the walls that we tend to put up around God, that we keep people away from God. The second reading is from the book of Luke, and it's quite different, has a quite different tone. In this reading, Jesus is with people, and they're probably just hanging out at the well for the town, or, you know, how people congregate together. And they're discussing two horrible things that had taken place. And the sad thing is that you could probably point to any moment in human history and people will be talking about two or more sad things that have taken place. These two horrible things are simply that Pilate, who was known as not being a nice person, sent his soldiers into a temple and murdered everyone that was there. And then the tower in Shalom collapsed and killed 18 people. Here's from the book of Luke. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Repent or perish. Maybe more familiar words for Lent. Kind of sends shivers down your spine. We encounter a lot of shame and fear sometimes in our religions. Is this what Jesus is doing? Is he trying to use fear to keep people in line? I don't think so. The word repent, it means change. More than just remorse or sorrow or a change of mind. Repent is a change of heart. So not just what we do, how we act, but how we feel inside that makes us do the things that we do. Repentance isn't setting off in a direction and slowing down or hitting the brakes from time to time. Repentance is stopping the car, making a U-turn, and then driving in the opposite direction. It's an invitation to turn away from the sin which causes life to shrink in order to turn towards what causes life to bloom. Repent or perish. It's not a threat. It's simply reality. We either turn away from what causes death in our lives. Are we already perishing? It's a movie, The Shawshank Redemption. There's a line in there, simply, "Get busy living or get busy dying." And that's a choice we make all the time. Life can pull us in so many different directions, and so many times are directions that we really shouldn't be going into, but we find ourselves there. Jesus spent 40 days out in the wilderness, and this wasn't before Holy Week. This was right after he was baptized. And basically, there's not much about it in the Bible. It says he was fasting, and then he had his time with the devil, trying to tempt him. But a lot more was going on, I think, in those 40 days. I think he was just trying to figure out where his life needed to go, what he needed to do, where he was at that moment, and where he had to go. He came out of the wilderness, and he began a ministry that changed the world. What changes do we need to make in our lives so that we can enjoy the lives that we were meant to live? That's what Lent's about. Now, I could almost finish there, but I have something else to share with you. There's a saying that says, "Practice what you preach." So I have something to share with you. Something I've been working on for a while. You see, sometimes I can have a bit of a temper. Now, it's not with my wife, not with my kids, and not really with the world around me. I try my best to give people the benefit of the doubt, to see things from another pair of shoes, through another set of eyes, and to treat people the way I would like to be treated. This is just how I was raised and how I choose to live my life. My problem is that the courtesies that I do my best to extend to the world around me, I do a really poor job of extending them to myself. I have a really short fuse with myself, and it's usually over something really silly. Maybe it's just me. You know, I make a wrong turn when I'm driving, or I drop something, or I forget to do something. Just little silly things that when someone else does it, you wouldn't think twice about it, but I get so angry with myself. And I wonder why I do that. I, of all people, have nothing to be upset about. So I started paying better attention. And what I found was that I can kind of bully myself. In those moments when I'm doing something that doesn't require a lot of thought, and my mind kind of wanders off, I tend to remember moments and times when I probably wasn't at my best, when I probably did things I wish I hadn't done, when maybe I had said some things, and the words, you know, they just kind of fall out of your mouth, and you wish you could grab them and put them back, but it's too late, they're out there. Or maybe when I didn't speak up when I should have, for someone else or for myself. And I think what was happening is that I would think about these moments and dwell on them. And under the surface, I'd get a little bit mad with myself. So when something simple happens in my everyday life, I'm already there. You know that feeling. Say, if that person looks at me that way one more time, there's going to be a problem. Well, you're doing that to yourself. Maybe we hold on to too many moments that we shouldn't. So one morning, I try to take a little time before I start my day and just try not to think about anything. Just make a little space for new ideas and new thoughts to come into my mind. And some of these images came floating by that have helped me out quite a bit. And I'd like to try to share them with you if I could this morning. I don't know how well this will work, but we'll give it a try. So if you want to just take a minute and close your eyes, and let your mind be still. And if you can imagine yourself just looking up at a beautiful blue sky, there's a few puffy clouds floating around, and you can feel the sun on your face. And as you bring your gaze down to earth again, you find yourself sitting on the bank of a beautiful small pond. There's green all around you, little bits of color from the wildflowers and the pond lilies. And you can hear the birds chirping. And as you look across to the far bank, half the world looks upside down because the water is so calm, the reflection in the water is crystal clear. Now as you're in enjoying this beautiful day, a little puffy gray cloud comes floating by. And raindrops start to fall from the sky. And as they hit the surface of the water, little ripples start to work their way across the pond, bumping into each other and then fading away. Everything that we say, everything that we do, they're just like those drops of rain. They send ripples out into the world around us. Some are so small you barely notice them. And at other times, they're like giant waves that go crashing into everything around us. Some of these moments we hang on to, but most fade away to be replaced by new ones. Don't you think that it's a little silly to spend so much time beating yourself up over a few drops of rain when you have a whole pond full of memories sitting right there in front of you? Learn from your mistakes. Ask forgiveness when needed. But let the moments that cause you pain fade away. Replace them with moments that bring you joy, that make you smile, that make you feel good inside. Do this, and you just might be amazed with how it changes the way you look at the world. Most importantly, yourself. Amen. For our benediction today, I would like to share something with you. This was found on the wall of a home for children in Calcutta, run by Mother Teresa. Now, I don't know for sure if these are her words or somebody else's, but I think they're certainly worth hearing. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyways. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Amen.